Hello. We're
How
back.
are you?
Back in black, but I'm wearing white.
And I'm in green for once, not black.
I was going to say, you're so colorful today, olive green.
I know. And my gray tank, you know, I went for a walk earlier at Schulenberger. So I was like, I don't give a shit what I'm wearing.
I love that things. Park. Nice.
It's nice. It's a nice place to, like, if you want just an easy walk, because it's only a 2 mile loop. It's flat.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Plenty of like benches to stop if you're just like, I want to chill for a little bit. It's nice.
Yeah, especially if you're a bird nerd like me.
Oh my god!
You can see some awesome birds out there.
You really
I'll be
can.
Like, oh,
and
is that a dark-eyed junco?
I don't know my birds. I wish I did. I really wish I was I'm a bird person in theory, because I really love seeing birds, but I don't know what they are. And I'm like such an amateur that I watched these two geese, Canadian geese, and these other two kind of flying in and landing, and they're like honking at each other. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they're calling to their friends. And then the other two that were a little further away came over. I'm like, oh, the friends, they're like getting together. And then the ones that had, they were not friends. They were scaring the other ones away. So I do not totally understand bird behavior, I guess, but they're pretty.
I was going to say, I'm like, that sounds like someone's getting territorial.
Yeah. So I was like, you guys, you're supposed to be like, you all fly together. Probably relax a little bit. You're going to spend some airtime with one another. But all the swans were out.
Oh, they're really pretty.
And I saw one. Mm-hmm. I was like, is she building a nest? Like, that's, I kind of know that a little bit. Because there was two of them.
Ground
nesters.
She
was like sitting and like picking things, like putting it near her. And the other one was kind of like putting stuff over by her. And I'm like, oh, babies.
Oh. Yeah. Probably getting ready for mating season.
Oh god, yeah. Gotta get it all.
Bow chicka wow wow. She's like all of us. She's like, okay, it's gonna be a first day. I need my home to be pristine.
Yeah. And I'm not doing it myself.
There can be no evidence of anyone living here. Do you remember that video from a few years back? And it was like this guy who's impersonating
yes.
his mom when guests come over.
Because it has often been reposted.
Too late now.
It's often reposted as like the Virgo mom, which is how I've always seen it, is that kind of like repost. But I was following him for a while. It's just this manic on a rampage.
So funny.
Oh my god. Okay, I have to ask, the sweatshirt you're wearing, is that an Elise Myers sweatshirt?
Yes, it is.
I love that.
Yes, I have. For those who don't know, follow Elise Myers. She is fucking amazing. And she has merch. I'm wearing her sweater that says, I don't receive that.
Yeah. And that's a good
which
one.
Is one of her like sayings. And I actually have a t-shirt that's like the opposite with the sun instead of the moon. It says, I receive mm-hmm. that.
I love that. I just earlier today was scrolling through and I don't know if it's recent or not, actually, because it doesn't show it in order, but it was her talking about her merch. Like, awkwardly.
Oh, awesome. I also have her ball cap that says, absolutely not.
Oh, I love that.
It's pretty
I actually
perfect because I say that to Gavin all the time. Absolutely not.
That's funny because that's kind of a Graham thing. That's how he'll
really?
Respond to things. Yeah, absolutely not. It's a Capricorn thing, I guess.
I guess it is.
It makes sense.
When we don't like something, we let it be known.
Yeah, it's a no. It's a big fat no. It's not going to change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, guys, gosh, I guess we should have like introduced ourselves properly to anyone who's like tuning in for the first time or if you've forgotten whose voice because it's been that long. Hello, I'm Maria.
And I'm Laura. And also, if you're like trying to put faces Like, I know our names are attached and all that. But Maria's handle is, it's her name. Mine is not.
Yeah. So if you go to at the new witches and check us out on Instagram, I'm the not pale one.
And I'm quite white. And I'm a former like white blonde hair girl. Now I'm blue.
Yeah, so fun.
I'm blue.
You've been a blue for a while.
I have.
Over a year actually. Now.
Yeah, I didn't. Time, dude, has been so. Everyone talking about funny. Like the beginning of the pandemic. I'm like, yeah, that was like a couple years ago. No, we're going on
2020.
3 years here.
2020 to 2022 is just a wash, honestly. Yeah. It's just one long, very long, sucky year to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so funny. I was talking to Gavin. We were just reflecting back on my recent 31st birthday. And then that led us to reflecting back on my 30th. And I'm like, wow, like that felt like it was just a few, like 6 months ago, my 30th.
Yeah.
Like this
I would have said
past
that.
Year
like, it just
gone
happened.
So quickly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't even know. I mean, 2022, I was very glad for it to end. It just, like 2021 for me was a hard year, but 2022 was just, I don't even know what to label it as. Just New Year's Eve came and I was like, yeah, you're done. I don't receive that 2022.
No, 2022 has had my highest highs and lowest lows. So it's weird to completely write it off because it's the year that Gavin and I got married and had our big wedding and introduced all of our fur babies into our lives. And it was our first full year in our new house too. So it was a lot of special stuff. But yeah, 2022 came with a lot of loss.
Yeah.
And, you know, for those who don't know, may listen to the podcast, but maybe you don't follow us on socials. Or maybe you don't just follow me. I know that people will follow like the podcast, but not necessarily individual hosts, accounts. Back in August, my baby sister passed away. She died by suicide. And it was really hard. She was only 19. And as you can imagine, that was, you know, it's interesting because I often think back to, like, I miss the days where I couldn't tell you what the worst day of my life was.
Yeah.
And now I can. So yeah, it's been incredibly difficult. It's only been February 11th will be 6 months without her.
Mm-hmm.
And then her birthday is coming up in March. And, you know, it's just, you know, it was the first holidays without her. Well, what? I mean, it happened 2 months before my wedding. Right. Honestly, I'm surprised that we were able to go through with the wedding, but we did. And then the first holidays without her. My first birthday without her. Everything is just the first without her.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's what, you know, we took a long break. I think the last time we posted an episode, a regularly scheduled episode, was like June or July, early July, maybe.
Yeah.
And we took a break just because we got really busy. And we were just about to get back into things when Letty passed. And that, so that's the reason why our break became like this indefinite, really long lapse.
Yeah.
And it's taken me, you know, a bit to feel like I have the capacity for this podcast. Particularly triggering, and you know, I've talked to you, Laura, about it, but mm-hmm. for those of you who don't know, our theme song was created by Leticia. I remember yeah. when we were first starting the podcast, when I was starting it with Melanie, I commissioned it to be made by Leti. I couldn't think of anyone else. Like, she was like the perfect person for the job, the only person for the job. And for her time, I paid her in an Animal Crossing game. I bought Animal Crossing for her. Yeah, Leticia was an extremely talented musician. She could sing, she could play guitar. I think she was learning bass, amazing at piano. She had perfect pitch. She was really just like, her music talents were very apparent from like age 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. And she produced her own music. She had accolades in like her electronic music production. And she was part of a wonderful music school, local here called School of Rock. And I know that it's a franchise, so you may know of a School mm-hmm. of Rock in your area. We had one here, and School of Rock was so much for her. It was where all her friends were. It was her safe haven, and where obviously she could let her creativity shine. And naturally, we wanted to do something in her memory, me and my family. And this past Saturday, and Laura was there too, which was so special that you came. So thank you for that. We created the Honeydew Music Fund. Honeydew was Leticia's stage name. The Honeydew Music Fund will be helping for this next, like, what do they call a season? Mm-hmm. Basically, like, the tuition for now through the end of May will be helping 4 students cover 50% of their tuition. And we're, you know, we have enough funds to keep helping students for at least the next 2 years. And obviously we'll, you know, we'll figure out how we can, you know, fundraise and stuff. But I just want to express my gratitude to the people who pulled their money together to make it happen. And that was a big part, you know, my father and his brothers, but as well as, you know, other family members and some of the families at School of Rock too. Because initially we were only going to commit to helping 2 students for 2 years. That's how much money we had. And then we had a family and the father of the music director, they both donated where we could cover 4 students for this next semester/season. So that's really exciting. And that's been very...
I have to say real quick, just mm-hmm. you getting up, you gave a beautiful speech when announcing the winners, and the excitement that came from the kids was so cool to see and just thank experience because they yeah, were just was, so stoked.
They really were. It was, I didn't know what to expect. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get up there. And I actually like public speaking. I guess I'm one of the few people who do. Apparently this is like one of the most leading, like, stressful things in a person's life. It's like very, like, most people hate public speaking, but I love presenting. And I was actually like my high school's commencement speaker too. And And I knew that my parents wouldn't be able to probably get a word out if they did it.
Yeah.
And so I was tasked with doing the presenting. But I really like, I'm like, I don't know, maybe it may be awkward, you know, there may be some clapping, or I just didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And it really was so beautiful to see all of these kids and teachers and the instructors just stoked for the recipients each time
Yeah.
I announced one of their names. I remember the very first one, her instructor was on stage next to me, like help getting ready for the next song they were about to perform. And he's like, oh my God, like that's my vocal student. And he's like, that's amazing. Like he was so excited, like as if it was like his sister or his daughter. Like,
Yeah.
and that's, I think, what I love about School of Rock is they cultivate such a beautiful, like, family atmosphere, and everyone was just so genuinely excited about it. And yeah, and it felt really good. It was difficult because it was me and my family's first time going to a School of Rock concert or
Right.
performance without Letty there. They did perform at her funeral, and honestly, that's another thing where, like, for the worst day ever or days, you know, after her passing, her funeral was just so beautiful, and so many people came up to me and told me such, and even said that there's one lady that said, like, this is the most healing funeral I've ever attended.
It really was. I mean, it was. I've been to a number of funerals, memorial services, celebrations of life, and they've all been very nice, but this was, I don't even know the right word. I know it's what I would want to really actually be celebrated without this kind of stick to this and do that. I mean, so many people got up and had things to say about her. The music that was played was just per every part of it was perfect and beautiful and very fitting for someone like her.
It was it came out so beautifully, and I worked so hard to put that funeral together, and I was just so nervous about, like, when it came time to, you know, my father delivered a eulogy, and then I delivered one, and then we opened the floor, and I had some how again this is my lack of American idioms, an ace in the hole, no, like a few aces
Anytime
in
you
the
mention that, I'm like, wait, what is it? Toad in
basically
the hole?
we had, like, if no one got up to, like, break the ice, Gavin,
Yeah.
was ready to volunteer, and then we had, like, an aunt and uncle after him that would volunteer to speak in case no one else would. So we, like, planned that ahead of time so that there wasn't anything, like, awkward, like cricket cricket, like no one going up.
Yeah.
That'd be horrible. And to my surprise, Gavin had to, like, beeline it to the lectern
Yeah.
to be able to speak. People, when it was opened up to
There
the
was a
audience to come up and
line.
say words, there was a line. My cousin, who
Yeah.
was the master of ceremonies for the funeral, he had to turn people away at the end because we were, running out of time.
Yeah.
And the music was amazing and perfect. I can't thank those kids enough. Not all of School of Rock performed, just to select a few, because I mean that's so much, I think, to ask a teenager to handle. And that
Well,
was
and so
something
many of them were also dealing with it. They were still processing their
exactly like
feelings.
they just lost, a best friend or, like, a really good
Yeah.
friend, a bandmate, a classmate, and Yeah, I just they handled it with just so much grace, and just really, like, there were some songs where these two girls sang, and I don't know how they did it without crying. Like, I wouldn't be able to do it in that setting, and it came out so beautifully. Yeah, and it was, and so many people that I haven't seen in years, you know, that knew Letty when she was a little girl, came out. Just like, it was, it just, I don't know what else to say. It just, if we had to have a funeral for somebody, like, that's, that was the way to do it.
Yeah.
I'm so happy with how it came out. There's nothing I would really change about that day.
It was beautiful.
Thanks. It really was. Yeah. So anyways, that's what I've been dealing with.
Yeah.
It, you know, if, you know, you have a loved one who's passed, you know, from suicide, and you want to reach out to me and just chat, you can message me on Instagram on my personal account. It's tagged in our bio for the podcast account. And if you or someone you love is suffering from suicidal ideation, please call or text 988 and know that your life is precious and it's worth staying and fighting for. And please don't underestimate the impact that your absence will have.
Well said, because it's true. It's even watching, if you watch videos of people who have survived their attempts, they all say the same thing, which is the aftermath. I wish I didn't put anyone through that. It was hard. It was hard for them, obviously, but for everyone involved. And that it does, you get through it, but it's hard. It is hard. Whatever it is they're dealing with. So you can't do it alone. You do need to reach out for help.
Yes. Absolutely. So anyways.
Well, you also.
That's it for me.
You've had some very recent happy things.
Well, yes. Oh, gosh. Yeah. So now that we've talked about.
Additions, because everyone's probably going to hear at some point.
Yeah. The darkness that was 2022. There's that, but also, you know, Gavin and I got to have our big wedding in Dominican Republic, and it was,
talk about a big wedding.
It was
gorgeous. I wasn't there. It was
beautiful. I know. I wish you had been there, but
I was watching like a hawk for any photos and videos that could come through.
I'm going to have to, next time we're together, I'm going to have to like show you the photos that I have on my phone, because I mean, it's like over 1,000 photos that that guy took. Well, I mean, actually it was a gal, but like our photographer, actually, he went through like a medical emergency the night before. I mean, he's fine, but there was something like he wasn't feeling well and his heart was racing. His blood pressure was through the roof. So he went to the ER and he was there like in the middle of the night and obviously had to like rest and wasn't in any shape to photograph our day. And that was definitely a bummer. But the photographer that he sent in, she was just amazing. Did an amazing job.
Oh, cool.
And I'm pretty sure she just kind of like took all the images and then gave it to him raw. And then he edited them in his style. But yeah, it was a blast. Still haven't gotten our video back. I feel like that's a little overdue at this point. But I feel like that's like... you know, the story with every videographer slash photographer. Couples have issues, you know, getting the stuff back sometimes, especially video. Video takes a while. Ours.
I wish we did video, but that would take a lot longer to edit.
Yeah, because it's like hours and hours of footage that you're trying to compile into like, what, 5 minutes or something? Or 10, I guess, if you do like an extended version where you include vowels or something. I don't know. Like, we wanted ours to be a little more like music video-y. Mm-hmm. So we wanted one that was like just like music and very vibey. And then another version that is a little longer with like where you can hear like speeches or the vowels or whatever. The wedding was beautiful. The week leading up to it was the most stressful week ever. I was so unhappy and stressed and just honestly, I was cortisol levels just through the roof. I'm pretty sure that week I must have shaved off another week off of my life. off of my life from that. It was just, but then, you know, I got to the rehearsal dinner. And from there, I think that it was that moment when I arrived that I was able to just like let everything go. I didn't have anything else to do.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty proud of myself for like letting go of the stress at that point. Cause even on the day of the wedding, and there was even people that were like anxious about certain things that they would come to me and I'm like, I'm zen. There's a reason why we have a wedding coordinator. Go ask her. I'm actually also very impressed. I would like to tag some of the people that, you know, I'm mentioning here, like the photographer and then the wedding planner, and decor lady, but the wedding planner, her handle is B Planning, and that's BEA Planning. It's not like just her. She has a team.
Oh,
I swear to God, there must have been like her who was like running the show of like logistics. Right. And then she had like 3 or 4 other like assistants that were just like, you know, the different locations, either, you know, coordinating with the decorator, and she also did an amazing job coordinating with, you know, because there was like the getting ready suite for the bridal party, yes, and then the groom's party. And they were just like back and forth. Anyways, it was amazing. I felt like a VIP. It's like if there's any day that you should feel like you're a celebrity, it should be your wedding day. And I definitely felt like a celebrity. It was so fun. And it goes by in a blink of an eye. Like everyone says so, but yeah. I didn't really think it would be that to that extreme. It really felt like the ceremony, like leading up to it, getting ready, felt like hours and hours. But I was like, cool, I'm fine. And then the ceremony was the ceremony that actually did feel like the length that it was. But I was okay with that too. But it was when we arrived at the reception. The reception felt like it was an hour instead of the 4 that it actually was.
Yeah.
And it was just so fun. Like we had, instead of cake, we had a popsicle cart. And what was so funny is that they put the popsicles like right where people were entering. And we wanted the popsicles to be like for dessert. So people are starting to line up to get popsicles. But I'm like, this is actually perfect. People loved it because it was the hottest night. Like the whole week leading up to it, it was like perfectly like splendid in the evening, a nice light breeze. This night it was hot. It was humid. The air was stagnant. I think that was the only thing that if I could change it, I would. It would just put some breeze in the air. People were so hot. And it was like the perfect way for them to arrive and like cool off. And that we were like, we had the receiving line where we're standing next to the dessert table and just like people one by one are saying hi to us as they enter the reception and everyone's just like hugging us with like one popsicle in their hand. Yeah, it was so fun. And I also want to talk about just the touches, the details that we did to honor our loved ones that have passed. Yeah. Because, you know, if you're planning a wedding and you have people who are no longer with you here in the corporal realm. Of course, there's like the classic memory table, and we definitely had that. But in regards to Leti, I actually had the seamstress for my wedding gown take one of her shirts, and she cut out a heart-shaped patch from one of her shirts. It was one of her favorite shirts. It was only the sleeve, so it wasn't like right in the middle, because I'm like, please try to keep the integrity of the shirt as best as possible. She only needed like a little heart, so she took it like from the sleeve of the t-shirt. And she embroidered it with Leti on it and put that on the inside of my gown, like where my heart is. And I loved it so much. She offered it to me when I told her the story about how my sister had just passed, because she was like, she was this Russian lady, and she was kind of giving me a hard time about why I was leaving my alteration so late in the game. She's like, you're having me do 2 months of work in 3 weeks. Like, why did you leave it? You know, we had an appointment earlier and then you canceled it. And why are we doing this so late? And then I told her, I'm like, well, because 2 days before my sister passed. And I told her like the whole story, and she was like, oh my God. And she offered to do that for free for me. And then I'm like, if I pay extra, can you also do it for Gavin? Aww. So I got my mother-in-law to get one of Gavin's father's favorite shirts and do the same for the inside of his jacket. And that was a really nice surprise for him on the day of the wedding when they were getting ready.
I bet.
And so that's one way. And Leticia's birthday is March 18th. And so, and that the stone is aquamarine. And so I wore aquamarine jewelry. And the earrings that I wore were even like her ear. They used to be her earrings. And then, you know, I had like a little photo charm hanging off of my bouquet. And I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, well, one song that will forever be associated with Leticia now is Tiny Dancer. We played it at her funeral, and it was a song that she was playing a lot. Like when she would learn a song, she would just kind of play it at home over and over and over again. And in her last days, that was a song that she was playing a lot. And so we played it at her funeral, but then on the wedding, kind of like as a little thing, we didn't call attention to it, but as a little thing between, you know, the close-knit circle, we requested the DJ to incorporate the Elton John, Britney Spears version. I know it's like titled differently. It's not Tiny Dancer.
Hold Me Closer.
Hold Me Closer. So we played that. So it was still like upbeat. But when it played, we just, you know, were able to think of her and try to feel her with us.
Question.
Yeah.
How do you think she would have felt about that version? Because that came out after, right?
It did come out after.
Would she have liked, was she someone who liked songs being redone like that?
Yeah, Leticia was really cool in that she just loved music for music. She once entered this music production camp, and in the application, one of the questions was like, what's your favorite genre of music? And she's like, I can't answer that because every single genre out there is valid. Like every music out there is valid. And she just loved, you know, people who were experimental, or you know, the pop stuff, or like 90s rap. She was even getting into like a year ago she was listening to like 1930s swing or something like that. I don't know, something really specific. She just was so inclusive with music in that respect, which I loved about her. She just really purely loved the joy of music as it was. I think that she would have really, really liked it. I mean, there was that other Dua Lipa and Elton John crossover or remake or whatever. And she did enjoy that. So I can imagine that she she could have liked this version a lot. I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's a really fun, pretty take on it. Because it also has, even though it's a remake, they incorporated like original new lyrics to it as well.
Oh, right.
Yeah, like some of the verses are, or maybe all of the verses are actually like original and new, and they just sample the chorus of Tiny Dancer.
Yeah, I think I do recall that now. It's been a while since I've listened to it, but I listened to it a bunch when it first came out. And I think that was it, because it confused me. I was like, wait, I know this, but I don't know this.
Yes, it's like they remade it, but not really. It was like a remix, I guess. So those were the ways that we incorporated our loved ones on our wedding day that are no longer with us.
I love that.
Yeah, it felt like a good way to do it, and honoring them.
Well, I love the highs that you had, because they are amazing things. Getting married, I think, when you find your person, is like the coolest thing that you can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You also added fur babies to your family.
We added fur babies.
Fucking dog is the cutest.
Yeah, so
I mean, your cats too, but oh my god.
I know. We had the two cats, and we're like, we'll wait for the dog 2023 or some at some point. But then in the middle of our honeymoon, by the way, our honeymoon was stupendous. I won't get into too many details because I've been talking for so long, but it was stupendous. We stayed at Lopez and Costa Bávaro in Punta Cana. I mean, it's technically Bávaro, which is north of Punta Cana, but it's like that area of Dominican Republic. Highly recommend for an all-inclusive resort. I've been to many in Punta Cana, and that was the best experience I've had. So, so awesome. But anyways, in the middle of our honeymoon, I got an email from the breeder saying like, hey, we know that you wanted a chocolate lab and you're totally free to pass up and defer to like the next litter. But I just want to let you know that we had this litter of red fox red labs. And then of course she like sent me photos, and I'm like, oh, Marianne, like sending me photos, you know what you're doing. Yes. And so I showed it to Gavin, and he was the one that really wanted a chocolate lab. I would have kind of been happy with whatever. I just knew that I really wanted at least a girl. I just wanted a girl dog. So that was my one request. And Gavin like fell in love with the fox red. He's like, okay, I actually like this like better than the chocolate lab. And we arrived from our honeymoon like October 24th, something like that. And we picked her up November 6th or 8th or something like that. So it was literally like a week and a half after we got back from our honeymoon. We just like wasted
and you
no
were
time.
So sneaky about it. Didn't say anything. Didn't post anything. And then you host a Friendsgiving. Graham and I show up, and you're just like, look over there. And I'm thinking like, there's a person? Like, do you get a new piece of furniture? And there's a fucking puppy just curled up a little ball sleeping. Yeah. Oh my god. She was so tiny.
She was so little then.
Oh. Yeah.
She was like 2.5 months then. She was just like this big walking pillow of fur. Now she's looking more like a dog than a puppy these days. But yeah, she was, I think we kind of feared people judging us for like, it's just crazy. There's so much in the last year. And so we're like, well, people won't question it if they're like in the moment meeting her. They'll just be excited. They'll just be excited to be in the presence of this fucking adorable dog.
I have to say, though, I like ever since you shared that you were going to get a dog for Gavin, I've been like, okay, when's it going to happen? Like, it's going to happen soon. And then when you said like after the wedding, I'm like, okay, all right, that makes sense. When we parked to walk into your house. We start like walking down the street. I didn't say it and I wish I had, but I had the thought, you know, they're back from their honeymoon now. I wonder if they're going to get that dog anytime soon. And I wish I had said it because then we would have walked in the house. I would have been like, see, Graham, I thought it. It happened.
Oh, my gosh. Graham was so tickled with her.
Yes.
Oh, that was such a fun side of Graham to see. He's usually just like so stoic, so like,
yep,
you know, level. And then I think I saw his eyes widen when he laid eyes on the puppy. I'm like, oh my God, he's emoting.
It's true. There are very few ways to get that kind of reaction from him. And that is definitely one of them. Absolutely. I mean, we were married for just a couple months when, maybe like 3 months or so, when Brianna and Shane went on a trip. Mm-hmm. And they had little baby Bowie, their little puppy, mm-hmm, at the time, who did make an appearance at our wedding. She brought him. He was so cute and little. But they were going to Tahoe and they needed someone to like house sit him. And so I was like, yeah, sure, no problem. We had no pets at that point. That was what made him go, we need a dog.
That's what
he fucking loved Bowie.
Dog sitting?
So much.
Watch out if you don't have a pet and you dog sit, guys. Because it was dog sitting my friend's parents' lab that I'm like, I mean, I knew that I wanted to get Gavin a dog someday. Like, mm-hmm, he needed a dog in his life. But that was when I was like, oh, he needs a lab. Literally like a month after, maybe not even, maybe 2 weeks after we dog sat, I put the deposit in.
Yeah.
With the breeder.
You knew like right away. You're like, I'm going to get him a dog.
I mean, I think I even sent you the video of when he was like cuddling with her.
Yes.
And I'm like, do you see the look that this boy has, the way that he looked? I wish that he looked at me like that. I'm kidding. He does. But like, it was just like such pure, like, love, yeah, at this dog that he like met like 24 hours before. And I'm like, oh my God, this, I want to see that look on his face more.
Yeah.
And yeah, he loves. So her name is Canela. Cause she's the Fox Red Lab. Which is so funny. We spent a long time trying to figure out names, mm-hmm, and we went through a huge list of names and we're like, red dog names. Like, we Googled it. And obviously a lot of spices come up, like paprika, nutmeg, cinnamon. And I'm like, cinnamon? Well, in Spanish, cinnamon is canela. Canela is actually like a pretty name.
Yeah.
And Gavin loved it. And so, yeah, so that's her name. Her name is Canela. And in February, she will be 5 months on February 9th.
Yeah. A little baby.
She's just a little bean.
I think she's what you guys needed to kind, yeah, of like wrap up 2022. And
she's been very therapeutic for my parents because with the new year came a lot of changes at work. And
yep,
people were demanding for us to be in the office 3 days a week. So now Tuesday through Thursday, I'm in the office. That's been an adjustment the last month. And, you know, of course, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I was counting on being able to work from home while Canelo was young.
Yeah.
And so I arranged with my parents until she can start going to dog daycare to leave her with them on the days that I'm in the office. And they love Canela.
No doggy daycare. My mom especially.
No, not they happening. Are the dog daycare. Yeah. They're great grandparents. For this show on Saturday where we presented the Honeydew Fund, Music Fund, my mom was like, oh, let's leave her at my house rather than yours. Cause in mine, we would just leave her in the crate. Like, there's nowhere we can kind of like put like that gate where she's like enclosed in, mm-hmm, in a smaller space. But there's a little mini hallway at my parents', off of like the dining room, like goes towards the garage. And so she's like, let's put the gate there. That way, you know, she's contained, but she has like more room to like stretch her legs and kind of hang out. Cause it was going to be a few hours. Yeah. It was gonna be like 3 hours we'd be away. And I get to my parents' house and I see the iPad on a stand on the dining table pointing at the hallway. And I'm like, what's this? And my mom's like, oh, so that way we can have a live feed of how she's doing. And what she did is that she like FaceTime called my dad's iPad from her phone. And so we just had this ongoing FaceTime call with the camera facing Canela. And the entire ride to the show, that woman just was looking at her screen, being like, she's barking now. Oh, she's settling down. Oh, she's up now. I think she's chewing on something. Like, just like play by play update.
Yeah.
And even during the show, she checked that phone at least once a minute. It was so cute. They love that dog. And it's been a really good therapy for them. This has given them something to focus on and care for. And
yeah.
My mom has been on leave from work, understandably. And I feel like otherwise she'd just be like, what, hanging around watching TV or. It's given her something to like nurture and get up and and Canela loves them. I mean, at this point she spends 50% of her time pretty much at the grandparents. So it's like, she has two homes. They have 50% claim to her as well. But that's been, gosh, I've been talking for so long. I'm so sorry, but that's been my life.
I wouldn't even worry about how much time that was because, you know, everyone has been so amazing checking in, just being so understanding and, you know, hope everything's okay. Like, so I think allowing you whatever time you need to just talk. That's what we do. We're podcasters.
Yeah.
I was going to say it's what we do for a living, but, you know, side job, really.
A little side hustle.
But, you know, while initially, you know, we posted that we were taking a pause when you needed that time and kind of wanted to just see how that went, give you time completely unpressured with like, hey, I know you're going something really hard. Want to record? Like, that wasn't appropriate by any means and not what either of us needed to be doing. I did make an attempt to kind of keep things running in your absence, and that was going for a little bit, and then I too kind of dipped out after, when was that, early November, I think we had the interview with Ivy, which was such a fun episode. I wish you could have been part of it as well, but it was,
I know,
kind of,
I listened in, I played it.
Did you?
On my car ride. Cool. On my car rides, yeah. And
we'll have to have her back on because she's super cool.
Yeah, it sounded like a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I think because we talked too about like ideas, like let's do some ghost hunting this next year. And we'll have to have her come back on and be like, okay, so like we're complete amateurs. Can you walk us through this? But yeah, so, you know, like you said, work got busy and there has been some really big changes. The company we work for is owned by a parent company and they've kind of been this like distant owner, distant parent who just all of a sudden was like, you know what, we're here. And we're
going to be helicopter parents now.
Yes. Which, I mean, that happened a little bit more recently. But leading up to that, it was holiday season and just massively busy. And
retail,
I was working.
Holiday, if you know, you know.
Exactly. And, you know, doing remote customer service work, if all things run smoothly, is still a lot and still stressful, but when things are not running smoothly, it's worse. And so I was working, my days usually started around 6:45 and then I was done around 5 because things weren't working. People, I'm not going to get too into that, but some people weren't really doing their job. And so certain things got really backed up and even more than what you and I talked a little bit about that. But there was like a whole nother thing. Mm-hmm. Of someone not doing their job. And yeah, just shit was going down. And it got super, super stressful. And I started to, I mean, everyone knows who's been listening knows struggles that I went through in 2021 with infertility and IVF. Yes. Yeah. And all of that. 2022, there was no forward movement in that arena at all, mainly just because anyway, forward involves lots of money, which, mm-hmm. you know, who has lots of money these days? Not many people. And I mean, like, enough to drop, like, oh, I'll drop $1,000 here, not an issue. That kind of money. But, you know, I made it through 2021. In that I reached out, I had a therapist that I was working with, I was in group therapy, and got to a point where I was like, okay, I can manage, and I'm fine. But something about 2022, and that's like, I really, at some point, I will have a word to describe the year for me, but it really was not it for me, and I don't really know what exactly that was. But the end of the year kind of culminated with, like, my anxiety came back with a vengeance. Mm. I was having daily anxiety attacks and panic attacks. The panic attacks were like the most confusing aspect because they were panic attacks. They were happening for no reason. Like, there wasn't anything that triggered it. It just all of a sudden, I was having a hard time breathing. I couldn't relax. Felt like my eyes were going to bulge out of my head. And then my depression also came back with a vengeance. And, you know, I'm lucky in that I am who I am and I have the setup that I have, because as soon as that started to come back, I kind of knew, like, I need to reach back out. I need to get back into therapy and I need to get a handle on this, like, right away. And so that's what I did. And had to kind of reprioritize things just in my life. And, you know, wasn't checking in with the podcast that much really at all. Wasn't really going to many social things anymore. My house, just like daily cleaning things, took a backseat. And finally my therapist, when we got to the point where we could start meeting super regularly one-on-one, she was like, you know what? I want to put you on medical leave so we can get things under control. Which I've been on medical leave now for, this is the third week. And then after that, I'm taking a personal leave, just because the way medical insurance works when it comes to mental health is they really don't want you to be out for that long. Which is, if you mention anxiety, if it's more of like depressive, they'll apparently can do it longer. But if it's anxiety related, insurance will go back and cite studies and be like, well, the longer you're away from work, the harder it is to go back. So let's get them back to work. And thank God I have the therapist I have, because she's like, I don't think it would be ideal for you to go straight back to that. And we also just talked in terms of just my physical health, too, with having Ehlers-Danlos and everything else that comes with it was getting worse. And I was like, I don't know if it's stress or just, you know, so many people do talk about this being a degenerative thing that. Maybe just in general, it's getting worse. Even like on my little 2 mile walk on flat surface, like the last half mile, my left hip was dislocated. Oof. But I couldn't like just stop because you have to get back to the car to be done, you know? Yeah. So I'm like walking, doing a wiggle to try and like make it go back. And then people walking by look weird and you're like, what's up? I'm fine. I'm fine. I got this.
Oh my God.
And then like keep trying to, and like, yeah, that's, I laughed at it, but I, you know, prior to therapy, I would not have been laughing about it. It would have just added to just negative feelings. Cause it's, yeah, just when I think when everything culminates it all funnels down into just one extreme of I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I was at. And I do really well in therapy. I always strive to get the gold star from the therapist. I want an A+. So I will always do whatever work they ask me to do, because it feels good to do well. And I have a therapy minded brain, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It all makes sense to me. It's one of those things where you have to like hear an outside person say it and you're like, yeah, I knew that, but
yeah,
you know, when any sort of mental illness kind of trumps it, it talks right over it. So it's hard to.
It's good to have a sounding board for sure.
Yeah.
And someone who is just completely outside of the situation, that you know that they have the most minimal bias on hearing you and what's going on as possible, you know?
Exactly. And I think even for me, it's not that I need it to come from a therapist, but it just adds to it, because you're like, oh, you're the professional. Like, you're the doctor of psychology. So like, you really know what you're talking about.
Yes.
And I like her. I'm really lucky that I got paired with her last year, and technically 2 years ago, 2020, whatever. What is time? But she's been great. So what I've been up to is putting a new lens on myself and my life, and have learned new things about myself in a very short time, that I have OCD. So much fun. Add that to my ADD and OCD, which is something I'm actively still learning about. I will be taking medication for it, which I'm excited for.
Good.
You know, some people are very on the fence, like, do I want to take medication? But, you know, when you're at the point where you are talking to professionals who are giving you every tool to add to your toolbox, and you're like, okay, great, I'm doing that. Okay, great, I'm doing that too. Okay, great, I'm doing that too. And you're still having an issue. Sometimes medication needs to be added, and there's no shame in it. If it's something that you can do and you're open to it, you know, it's always worth a try. And I've known people that have taken this that have really liked it. And so I'm excited, oddly, to add it to my, I haven't shared this. I have this wonderful,
ooh,
for my pills. I know, it's like a rainbow.
Pretty.
And then each day is in four little sections.
Nice.
Morning, noon, evening, and bedtime.
Perfect. That's so
quite
cool.
A lot in there already.
So organized. I love it.
Yes. I'm trying to get back to my Virgo organized brain, because it just feels so good when things are organized. Yeah. But on top of all that, I am also looking to make a career change, because customer service, I don't recognize that. I don't want to.
You don't receive that.
I don't.
You don't want to receive it, but yet you must.
No. Yeah, exactly. It's just, you can only, I think everyone needs to work a customer service job at some point in their life. I think it's really important to do that. And if it's something that you do for your whole life, I admire you, because it's not an easy job. And I certainly cannot continue listening to problems all day long and solving other people's problems all day long, because one of my biggest cruxes is that I care a lot. Even though on one hand, you know, people can call with their issues, and I'm like, I really don't care about this. Like, this isn't my problem, but I can take care of it. There is this other part of me that I will care for you so much that it makes me stress out very easily at a job like that, where and the holidays really did a number on me because there's all these people waiting, you know, my package hasn't arrived and Christmas is in 2 days. And on one hand, of course, I know, like, that sucks. I'm sorry. Like, I can't do anything about that. It shipped in a timely manner. You, like, there's just a delay.
Yeah.
You know, but I'll, you know, I'm very good with empathy, especially over the phone. That's something that my manager always said was a strength of mine. But hanging up that call, my brain would hold on to every single conversation that I had and be like, that really sucks for them. Like, I wonder if they'll get that. I wonder if this will happen. And I'd hang on to certain call tickets longer than, I think most people just would solve their tickets and be done and move on. But I would hold on to some of them just to make sure things ended well, or things that went smoothly. And, you know, I can't do that forever. I feel like that makes me good at my job, but at the same time, no.
That sounds very draining.
Very, very much so. And
just because you're good at it doesn't mean that it's good for you.
Exactly. And that's something my therapist and I are like, maybe don't go back to that. So I am actively working towards a different career. I'm, and y'all probably notice our page posting more frequently. but I want to get into social media, either social media management, social media marketing, community manager.
I feel like you're such a natural at it. Media. It makes so much sense.
Well, and I feel like, one, it's good job security because it's on the rise. Yep. And I don't think social media is going anywhere anytime soon.
Oh, God, no.
I think it's just like right now, there's no college degree that you can get in social media, which was one thing that attracted me to it. Because if someone's like, well, you don't have a degree, like, the fuck degree am I supposed to have in social media?
I mean, it's like right now that colleges are starting to include degrees exactly. Or like classes specifically geared towards it. Social media. Yeah.
Oh yeah. 10 years from now, you're going to have people applying for social media jobs with social media degrees.
Yep.
It's going to happen, but that's why I want to get into it now before that happens. Yeah. To be able to speak on experience. But at the same time, like, you and I are both at the age when it comes to social media. Like, we lived before it. We saw it come. Mm-hmm. We saw it grow. Like,
as the New York Times would call us, the Spice Girls generation.
Yes. I'm so glad you brought that up.
I want to be called the Spice Girls generation. Petition to be called that instead of millennials.
Yes. We are the Spice Girls generation. We are the MySpace generation too. I feel like not a lot of people can say that either because
it ended. People who had a MySpace, I was not allowed a MySpace when it was at its height.
You weren't allowed? Oh.
No, my parents were extremely strict with me growing up, which was very jarring once I turned 18. And they're like, you're an adult now. Go off, my little bird. Fly. And I'm like, what? my parents were sheltered me a lot and were very, very restrictive with social media. And in the beginning, I think I was like the last one of my friends or just anyone I knew, period, that got unlimited texting. Like, my parents were just, I think it wasn't until I was a senior in high school. That's
My parents couldn't wait to get me on unlimited text messaging.
Well, so I was not allowed in MySpace. So I kind of completely lost out on the whole MySpace phenomena.
I know,
I did join Facebook in 08. I was there for like the beginning years of Facebook. So I understand, you know, the rise of that. And yeah. It's so interesting seeing its decline and now that, you know, the rise of yep. Instagram and TikTok, and just remembering when things were so much simpler.
Gosh, I truly though, the history of social media is just wild. You know, MySpace, when it was around, it seemed like, well, this is never going to go anywhere, especially because when Facebook first came out, it was really just for college students. You had to have a college email to even start an account. And I remember at first being like, damn it, I can't join.
It didn't take them that long. What was it, like a year after it opened that they finally opened it up to anybody?
It was something like that. Yeah. Cause I think I started my account in 2005 with Facebook. That would have been my freshman year. So oh, maybe five? I did initially really? That early? Sign up. Yeah.
And I feel like everyone I know like jumped on Facebook in like at earliest 07 or 08. I think I actually joined 09 was the actual year that I ended up joining.
It could be that because I did go to the junior college for a year. So maybe I actually did sign up with that. You got
access.
But prior to that, I didn't have an email that I could use. Because I right. like 2004, I think, was when people I knew were starting to get on it.
Well, you know, you had like your email that you used for AIM that was like some super weird username, super unique. Now everyone is abandoning those. Mine was the stupidest thing.
I don't know if it's stupider than mine.
But I think everyone is like so ashamed. If you want to get into someone's like skeletons in their closet, just ask what was their AIM username or like their first email, their first real email. Yeah, mine was Tiny Aqua Blue Dancer for too long. Tiny Aqua Blue Dancer at hotmail.com.
Mine was Boobless Barbie 5.
Okay, but that's a vibe. Me, I'm like, take one of my favorite songs and my favorite color at the current time. Tiny Aqua Blue Dancer. I try to do a Tiny Blue Dancer, but then that was obviously taken. So I'm that like, well, more specifically, I like more of an aqua blue. So, and it was the longest. Anyways. Don't email it. It's not active anymore, guys.
So many, though. I changed my emails so frequently that I don't remember them all, but Boobless Barbie was the last one I had before, like, Facebook. I joined Facebook, and then you had to be a little bit more mainstream with your names. Then it became Van Destroyer, and then my name. Yeah. But, yeah. I don't know. I like social media, and I like that you can dabble in several things when doing it. Like, I've been taking free courses just because when I start applying, and it's really interesting, I actually heard people talking about, I didn't write down the statistics or anything, but the gist of it was that women will not apply for a job unless they're 100% confident that they can do it. Whereas men will apply for jobs whether they're qualified or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that kind of snapped me out of a little anxiety that I was feeling about all of this, because I was like, I need to get so much more experience and knowledge before I can even apply anywhere. And then I heard that and I was like, you know what? I think I know enough. I think I'm okay. I mean, I haven't applied anywhere yet. I still need to update my resume. And I created a LinkedIn profile officially, but I need to actually like clean it up and make it look nice, because that's like the thing you're supposed to do. But I have been taking free courses because I'm like, I love to learn. I love to learn. And there's so many. I found this one site. I think it's, what is it called? I have it open here because I was taking one. It's so boring, but I'm going to finish it. Udemy. Okay. Udemy. Udemy.com.
I think I've heard of that.
They have courses, paid and free, on all sorts of topics. And right now I'm just doing free courses because, like, it's just stuff that people's upload, they're uploading it. So I don't want to pay for something and then it's shitty. So I'm like, let me do what's free. And then if I find a good paid one that's like really specific to what I want to learn more, then I'll do that. But I've learned so much. Marketing, graphic design, did a whole course on typography. Like, it's just very interesting and very fun. And I think that's what I've been missing from like jobs that I've had, is kind of that creative challenge, creative problem solving,
right?
And just having fun experimenting and making things and be willing to constantly change.
Yeah.
Which is super important in social media. You know, if you can't make shit and then be like, why is no one liking it? Because you're making shit. You gotta fix it. Make it better. I'm so tired of working jobs where you're like, hey, there's a problem here. Can we change this? People don't get that. Can we change this?
Yeah. I feel like we talked about this the other day. It's being like reactive versus proactive.
Yes.
And exactly. It's very exhausting constantly being reactive.
Exactly. I'm tired of that. So that is what I'm doing, what I've been doing, what I am doing. So yeah, if you start seeing more posts, I'm just getting a little practice in. And I'm also taking on in a small business, trying to get them on the social media like radar. Just so I have that as well. But
my cat, okay, I have either cat sleeping, one is on this side of the room, the other one is on this side, and then the little one Ringo just walked over, and Fitz is on this hammock that only really fits one cat, and he just like propped up to look at his brother because he gets like in a mood where he just wants to cuddle with his brother, and he made this little sound like, oh, like I can't fit there.
Oh, super cute. Maria, now you have to get a new hammock that fits too.
I do have like a cool like double decker canopy thing that's like suction cupped onto the window right next to my desk here. And that's been amazing. Usually they're on there, but I don't know, they got creative on their sleeping locations tonight. But it was just like the most adorable thing. I fucking love my cats. We got so lucky with like their temperaments are just, they're so cool. Like they're weird for cats, I will say, or I don't know. I feel like everyone has the stereotype of what a cat is like. Mm-hmm. And these boys are just so social and they love people and they're just such sweet babes.
They are very sweet babes. Cats.
Yeah.
They're good cats.
Yeah. But anyway, sorry. Oh my gosh.
No, you gotta call out a cute noise when you hear a cute noise.
Yeah. Look at this guy.
I love that when you pick a cat up and its legs are just like
up.
Straight up. Domino kind of does that, which I think is weird for a dog. But all cats, they're just so bendy.
They are so bendy and they don't have a clavicle, so that's how they like fit into tiny little holes.
So they weird.
Squeeze on through.
My clavicle dislocates.
Well, that's one
does
way.
Does not allow me to squeeze through things. That'd be cool. But it, yeah.
No.
It's weird. And if anyone else, I know we have people who listen who have Ehlers-Danlos, but like, I don't know if you noticed this connection. I did research and there is a connection, but like when that time of the month hits, your joints get nice and loose. So for like the days leading up and during, I'm so prone to getting hurt because it's like my shoulders will not stay in. They wow. Literally just like drop out.
And so it just was something with like, the hormones.
Yeah. It makes the ligaments relax.
Why did they have to be relaxed?
Or
is it just like
progesterone? Whatever the hormone is, it's very similar to like when you're pregnant, your joints, your ligaments kind of have to relax so that things shift.
I see.
easily.
Yeah, to be open, you know what I mean? To
yeah.
create room for a baby.
Exactly. I say exactly. I think that's that's what it was that I read. But I just, as soon as I saw that, like, yes, there's a connection. I'm not crazy. I was like, oh my God. And I have noticed that every month that comes up. So if you're listening and you have Ehlers-Danlos and you didn't know that, now you do. And if you did know it, cool. We're twins.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that you're taking time to rest. I try to remind my workmates, my colleagues, about this all the time because it's so against what we're taught here in America and in other countries too, I'm sure. But listen closely. Rest is also productive.
Yes.
Rest is also productive. And when you need it, take it.
Yes.
No shame. There should not be any shame.
Hustle culture is canceled.
We're canceling it. I'm canceling it. Rebranding.
We still need that. We need a button to press.
Branding. We do. We need a, like, what do they call it? A stinger? We need a rebranding stinger. Rebranding.
But I, yes, because it's fucking bullshit that you're supposed to push yourself and push yourself and push yourself, and that's expected. And yet when you're like, man, like, I'm feeling a little burnt out or whatever, it's like, do you really need to take that time off? And then when you take the time off, like, you really should be doing something. Like, it's bullshit. It's complete bullshit. You need to rest. And that's actually something that my therapist has been, like, going over with me, is, like, how to rest. Because there is a way to rest that, you know, obviously you have to listen to your body. If you do need a day of just, like, vegging on the couch, by all means, that's what you need to do. But if it is, like, extended rest, it can be easy to fall into a rut of doing nothing, depending on what you have going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, like she was telling me, it's a matter of finding, like, one thing to do a day, just to do. Mm-hmm. Not doesn't have to be like, oh, I'm going to go hang out with my friend, or I'm going to go do this, like, something little, while still obviously taking care of your basic needs. You know, showering
and just eating. asking yourself, like, what is something that I can do for myself?
Exactly. Maybe you have been craving a Slurpee for months and you actually go get it.
Yeah.
I think I'm doing that tomorrow.
Or, like, I'm going to go and have an hour in yoga class and just be present. Mm-hmm. And that's what I need. Or whatever it is. It doesn't have to be a yoga class, but that's my example for me. That's what I do. I try to do that 4 to 5 days a week. Now in the last 2 months, I've been going a lot to yoga and it's been great for me. But whatever your yoga is, do it.
Yeah. Kind of fun. And it could be multiple things. May not be the same thing, you know, every day, but just finding the little things to do that make you feel good, that make you feel whole, that make you feel closer to who you are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Which I think is a good segue into kind of the ending of this, but also just kind of touching back on our podcast. I mean, that was a really long check-in for both of us, but, you know, felt like that was necessary considering how long we've been gone. You know, we've talked a little bit about what the podcast has looked like and with our life changes, what we want to do with the podcast going forward. Which I don't mean that to sound alarming, like things are completely changing. But I just feel like we're both in a place of needing to allow ourselves grace. And I think that is a theme that we both want to carry through to the podcast, right?
Yeah.
And how we do things going forward. You know, we put a lot of effort into every episode that we do. Lots of research, lots of notes, and that won't go away by any means. But I know for me, doing research, I love to learn and I love building notes, but I want to feel like I'm giving it the time that it deserves and that you all deserve. And I allow myself to feel rushed. I'm not putting that on anything or anyone, but me being me, I would be like, I want to do this episode and I want to do it right here. And I'm going to do all this research. And then the time comes and I'll be like, God damn it, Laura, you could have done so much better. You could have done so many more, you know, like, and I don't want to do that to myself. And I'm sure you also want to do it. What's the word? Not recreationally, but like.
Well, it's like, I don't, you know, we don't want this to feel like a chore, you know, or something that's adding stress. I want the podcast to add value, and it has, but I think we got to a point where, you know, when you just reach, when you're at capacity for whatever you have bandwidth for, we want to keep it within our bandwidth.
Yeah.
Because it's, I feel like when people say like, well, I don't have time for it. And then people automatically feel guilty. Like, well, I did have, you know, that hour here or there. And it's not about like the time that we have. It's about the bandwidth, because we're both going, we've been through a lot the last year. We're still going through it too. And so we do want to get in a cadence where we're doing regular, like scheduled podcasts in a way that feels feasible for us.
Yeah. So we'll still have our structured episodes. We'll still have our ethical episodes. We'll still do types of witches. We'll have some interviews. But we're also going to allow for more episodes that are less structured, that are checking in. You know, we just had a post come out technically today, but for you all, let's see, this is going out Wednesday, so 2 days ago, about what I'm currently reading, what book I'm reading. So you may see some of these less structured episodes where we talk about what we read in the last week or what we watched in the last week that is relevant to witchcraft or, you know, something paranormal. You know, books especially, because we get so many people asking for book recommendations. And I really want to do the research before recommending any book. So I felt like it would be a fun way to challenge myself to read, but also to actually really put in the time myself to read versus just taking someone on a blog saying, this is a good book, and being like, yeah, I heard this is good. And I'm sure we'll have other fun things to offer as we chit chat.
Yeah, absolutely. So Wednesdays, tune in.
Yes. We'll have stuff.
Yeah. And listener episodes. I don't know if we mentioned that, but I know people love those. We're going to keep doing them. Don't worry. Those aren't going away.
Everything we have done is we're still continuing with. It's just rather than having a strict, hard deadline, it'll be when it's ready, that'll be ready. And in between, you'll get some fun episodes of Maria and I having fun.
Yeah. Ooh, I can't wait to talk about what I've been reading. But the thing is, I don't read witchy books. I buy and collect them, and I very rarely read them. But I am pretty excited for a current book that I'm reading, because I feel like I can work it into, like, you know, how to translate it witchified, if that makes sense. I don't know. Just teasing it, not giving too much away, because I need to finish the book before I work on that episode. But I'm pretty excited
I think that's probably going to be what happens for both of us, is things that occur and connecting it to witchcraft and just witchy themes. Because like in my time, I have picked up a special interest, which is string theory. Oh. It's a weird topic to have randomly landed on, but I did. And I have so much I can share on that and how it's related. And I also thought it would be really fun. I don't know how frequently it happens for you, but I have such vivid dreams like every night. And there's usually at least one a week where I'm like, whoa. And I swear to God, it has some sort of meaning to it. So I'll share some of that too.
I don't have those very often. I mean, I do have vivid dreams, but more often than not, it's one of those that like the memory of it fades over the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. But I will say I've had a few very lovely dreams with my sister that I'm very certain were dream visitations.
Yeah.
Because I dream about her probably every night. It's now a weird occurrence when I don't have a dream where she's in it, but there is a difference in when I dream of her versus when I dream with her.
Yeah.
And there's two or three instances that have happened since her passing that have been very beautiful. I don't know if we have time for me to share it here, sure. But well, one of them, the first one that I got, was the week leading up to her funeral. Leticia's favorite color was pink and pastels. So her like aesthetic was like pastel goth. Mm-hmm. If not at least just like pastel-y. She loved that like vibe and that aesthetic. And if it were up to me, not caring about what anyone thought, I would have worn like a pink dress to her funeral. But I knew that all of the family that flew in from Dominican Republic, as well as my parents, they were all planning on wearing black. And I felt like just like in solidarity with my family, I should also wear black with them. Even though I did tell people, like people asked me, you know, especially with so many kids and teenagers. So again, she was 19. She was friends with a lot of very young people. Yeah. Parents asking like, you know, like how do they need to dress, and telling them dress however, but you know, if you want to honor Letty, she loved pastels and she loved pink. And we had people show up wearing those colors or wearing more colorful outfits. We just, yeah. You know, we didn't like judge anyone for not wearing black pretty much.
Right.
But I was very emotionally affected by the fact that I wanted to have something pink on me, but little known fact about me, I abhor pink. It's weird because it's like, unless it's like in some sort of athleisure wear, I'll let it slide pink, but anywhere else in my life is just not going to happen. So I don't have a lot in the way of what to wear or incorporate or any jewelry that's pink. So I was just like very conflicted about that. And about two to three days before the funeral, I had a dream with Letty, and I was standing at the doorway of her room, like looking into her room, like just one step through the door. And she was wearing one of her favorite outfits, which was her rainbow shirt, which is actually the one that I cut the heart shape patch out of for my dress, and her overalls. And she was reaching over her tall dresser. And it wasn't like a dialogue, it was so short, but she reached over, she grabbed something from the top of the dresser, and she put it in my hands, and she just said, "Wear this." And when I looked down at my hands, which is weird because one of the things that people say when to tell if you're dreaming or not, if like you're in a dream and you're not sure, is to look at your hands, and if you can't see your hands, then you're dreaming. Well, I could see my hands, and they were holding this like abstract pink substance. Like it was just the essence of pink. So it wasn't, it didn't show me specifically what I was supposed to wear, what she wanted me to wear. Mm-hmm. But the next day I went to my parents' house. I went up to her room and I went to the dresser where in the dream she had reached for, and on top of the dresser were her two pink bow clips. Like, you know, like those clips that like have like a satin bow on top of it. She would often, and they were like little and they were like this very light pastel pink. And there were two of them, and there's, she would often wear them because she was also kind of into like kid core aesthetic as well. And she would take photos of herself and make like these very elaborate backgrounds.
Those are so cool.
I know. I'm like, man, like, I just wonder how long it took her to like create those, because she did create each one. And it felt like that was it, you know? And there was two. So I wore one in my hair on the day of the funeral, and I gave the other one to my cousin Lila, who is just a couple years older than her, was very close to Letty.
Yeah.
Very, very close. Like another sister for her.
Right.
And so now we each have one of Letty's pink bows. And that was really special. And then the second one was actually on our honeymoon. I dreamt of her and we were in this very weird space. It was actually like scary.
Mm-hmm.
Because the view was this gray, stormy ocean. And every time like this lightning struck, there would be like a hole that split in the water. Like it was actually something being transported back and forth. It just felt very like ethereal-ish, but kind of scary. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, on this weird landscape, I'm sitting on a couch with Leticia. And what's weird is that she presented herself like older, like what she might have looked like if she had aged to my age.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just kind of both sitting, kind of like how you would if you're sitting on a couch with your bestie, you know, you're kind of like sitting, but you're like facing each other.
Yeah.
And I just remember like being mesmerized by this lightning action happening in the distance, and Leticia kind of like getting my attention, like, hey, right here, like what's going on, and asking her if she was at the wedding. And she just said, of course I was. Each time I've dreamt of her, she's so light.
Mm-hmm.
She carried a lot of heaviness in her human life. And she was the energy in which she, I saw her in these two dreams, was like how she used to be when she was younger before, you know, she started becoming really emotionally affected and, you know, started suffering from her depression and her mental illness. She was just so at peace. Everything was just like, you know, just like, you know, of course I was there. Like, as if it's like, you know, as if I'd ask her to like, can you get me a glass of water? Of course I can. Just no big deal. Of course. And I remember like crying after she said that. And then I woke up crying. Yeah, and it's been interesting. I've also had, I'm pretty sure, like little visitations from my old dog Twix. Actually, the morning that she passed, when I got back home, and I'm like, okay, I've been up all night. I need to go try to get some sleep. I obviously did not get a lot of sleep at all, but I was laying down in the bed, and I remember like escorting the cats out of the room and shutting the door so that I could sleep without them jumping on the bed. And I remember laying down and feeling the imprints of like paw prints on the mattress next to me. Like when you can feel like that pressure when something that's right next to you, And at first, I'm like, I thought like one of the cats like must have slipped back in. I don't know how they did that, but I looked all over and both of the boys were outside of the room, and I'm pretty sure that was my boy Twix, just my little Yorkie checking in on me.
I wouldn't doubt that, because yeah. I bet you it was a mix of I'm here, want to make sure you're okay, but also, hey, I'm now we're together as well.
Yeah. I do believe that they're together on the other side. They grew up together.
Yeah.
You know, Leticia was born in March and we got Twix the following June. He was born in April. So they were only 2 months apart. So Letty just didn't really know a life without Twix. And but yeah. So anyways, those my experiences with the dream visitations. I feel like I had a third one that I'm probably just forgetting, but those are the two big ones that have really stuck with me.
Love those. Dream visitations are very special. And you do know when it's them, because it does feel different.
There's just a difference.
Yeah.
It's almost like you can intuit just their energy, like how they're feeling, mm-hmm. like that peace and calm. I never feel that in a dream. It's just like when she's been there and present, it's hard to explain specifically, but it's different.
It is different. I think there is something to, like, when I've had dream visitations, there is just this feeling from them of like, there's not a worry in the world for them.
Yeah.
It's,
they don't worry about anything. And things are just what they are.
It is so foreign to us, because we don't really get to experience that. Maybe when we were little kids, but I don't know it. And I think this has to be the biggest clue that's what that is just, it's fine. They're fine. It's all good. Of course, any question you want to ask, of course, they'll give you the answer.
Yeah.
And I love that she visited you so soon too.
Yeah, I was surprised. I've been hoping to feel her around, and I do have some of her ashes at home here. And I feel like in the months just after her passing, we did have like things where like kind of like things would be out of place, or a door would open or close on its own, or we would be both downstairs and all the animals downstairs and it sounded like someone was just upstairs, or different stuff like that. My mom also expressed that actually like the night that she passed, after everything, and you know, it was time to try to get some sleep. Like, you can get any sleep, but she was actually starting to half sleep, like doze off a little. And she just heard my sister's voice super clearly just saying, "Mom," just like in the way that she would. And she said it like in just such a realistic way, where it wasn't dreamy. It was like she was in the room.
Yeah.
And it was just like how she described it, how Leticia would try to get my mom's attention, like, "Mom," like, "Hey." And she's visited Lila too. Lila has expressed that she's had visitations from Leti as well. So it's funny, because this grief has had me go through a spiritual crisis. Actually, I have moments where I'm scared that she's just doesn't exist, and period, you know, that's it. And hard to grapple with that fact that I may be existing in a world that she just simply does not exist in. and I just go back and forth because, and it's weird because it's like for someone who's had so many like paranormal experiences, like in your face experiences, you'd
Yeah.
think I would never have any doubt. But I don't know, things like this just really rock you off kilter. And honestly, that's another reason why it took me a while to come back to the podcast because it felt almost like disingenuous. I didn't do anything witchy while I've been grieving.
Yeah.
I'm like, now I don't even know if I believe in any of this spirituality stuff.
Right.
And really, it's like, when it comes down to it, I do, but it's kind of a moot point because it's kind of like my brain trying to suss out and trying to get the answers of like what happens after death. And the simple
Yeah.
fact is, I'll never know
Right.
until it happens.
Exactly.
But
Yeah.
it's,
And
you know,
I.
it's, yeah, it's been difficult to, death anxiety has been strong with this one right here. Death
Yeah.
anxiety is strong. And I even had it pretty strongly even before Letty's death. And so I think it just has been really hammering it home for me. But it is very reassuring when I do have those experiences where I do feel her.
Yeah, I can imagine. And, I, not to get super off topic because we have been going for a while too, but talking about dreams and the special interest of mine, string theory, that interest was sparked within a dream that I had.
Ooh.
And I have had ever since then, just a series of dreams that have also shaken my beliefs. And I don't really know how to explain it further than that because it feels like it's still being figured out. And I think when it comes to the afterlife, I was always in this mindset of I believe in it, but I also am very okay with I'm not going to know till I die. And I'm okay with that. But these series of dreams have led me to a point where, in my beliefs, I very strongly believe in the afterlife. And I strongly believe in, I don't even know if there's a word for it. I believe very strongly now in the afterlife in a very different way. I don't know how to get into that any further without going on for another like 2 hours, but
Yeah, we should probably like wrap it up into a neat little bow for this episode because we have been going for a while.
we have. Maybe in a future episode I will share because it's honestly these there's a couple of dreams in particular that I've find myself revisiting quite frequently. And I feel like sometimes when you have dreams like that you're actively revisiting, it obviously holds some meaning to you, whether spiritual or not, your brain's sticking with it for some reason. And they're just wild, the mix between like what happens in the dreams and then things happening in real life and how they it's yeah. I've been on my own little trip. But I think that is, something we'll get into in future episodes. Obviously, I think this next year is going to be, like I mentioned, a year of grace for us. I hope you all allow that for yourselves as well. And I think also a good snapshot into, just the reality of living a witchy spiritual life that it ebbs and flows, and sometimes things happen that make us question things, and that's valid, and it's going to happen, and it's a journey.
It is definitely a journey. That's all
I'm
life is
looking
a
forward
journey.
to it. Exactly. It is a journey. With only one absolute which is that it will come to an end eventually, and it is up to us to pull whatever meaning we need or want from what our journey is.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're in control of the journey and sometimes we're not.
Yeah. And with that bright note, we will wrap up this episode. Man, I am so rusty because I haven't done our outro in ages, but thank you so much for listening, everybody. We are the New Witches. If you'd like to follow us on the social medias, we talked about social media quite a bit in this episode.
Yes.
We are at the New Witches pretty much everywhere. If you'd like to become a Patreon member and support the podcast and get some extra goodies along the way, you can go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/thenewwitches. And if you'd like to contribute to our listener stories, you can email us at thenewwitches@gmail.com. Or you could also go to our website, to our contact page, fill out the form there. And finally, you can even call us and then we'll feature your voice recording on the episode.
Oh, we need to renew the number.
We need to renew the number. So you can't call it now.
Back.
I won't say the number because it might not be functional when this goes live.
We'll fix it.
We'll fix it. But for now, we have two avenues of submitting your listener story. Please subscribe and please rate and review us. We love to hear your feedback. It really helps with our ratings as well, especially now that we're like back to it. And that's it. That's our show. I'm Maria.
And I'm Laura.
And stay witchy.
And keep it creepy.
Ah, feels good to say that again.
Yes.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.